Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The psalm this morning is from Psalm 72. We shall read this together. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like that rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render them tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. The second lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him.
He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask any children who are here to come forward for a word with me on the steps.
Yeah. I'm so excited too, so I'm excited you're excited. Hello.
Is it Jack? Is it Jack? No, that's not Jack. What? Zero? Cool. Wow, you all brought some stuff. So we're going to probably have to leave our stuff here when we go. We're going to do a fun activity, and so we're going to leave our toys here when we go to do our activity. Is that okay? And then you can come back up and retrieve them when we're finished. Is that okay, Ellie? Yeah, that's okay. Okay. Good. Hello. How are you? All right, so was anybody listening while I was reading just now? No, that's okay. We'll talk about it. At least you're honest. I like that. Did you hear Luke what I was talking about? Sit down. About kings! You're right! I just told a story about these kings who came to visit Jesus. And after the kings came to visit Jesus, then they left to tell all of the nations about Jesus, about who they had just met, who they just saw. So we're kind of like kings, right? After we hear the story about who Jesus is and what God is up to in the world, it's our job to go from this place and bless all of the nations, right? To tell everybody we know about who Jesus is, that Jesus is so awesome. So I thought maybe we could dress up like kings. What do you think? I think it's a great idea, so we're gonna do it. I brought some of our little, our costumes here, and so I want everyone to grab an element from the king's wardrobe. Place it upon your body. I also have some crowns if you're a crown type. I think this one might fit Ellie. Ellie, do you want to put this one on? Ooh, here. Put it on your head, the child crown. You look so cool. All right. We'll go like this. Oh, fantastically. You look great. All right, everybody stand up and grab something. You don't need my help. Just grab. Just grab, just grab. Here you go, Luke. Put that one on. Do you want to wear a crown?
No.
No? Ellie, do you want my crown? Here you go. Put it on. And then we're going to do a little bit of traveling like the kings did. We are. Yeah, if you could just throw one of those on over your head. If you want to put like a cape on.
Ooh, I want a cape.
That looks great. Ooh, I like this one. I'm going to wear this one. Genesee, why don't you grab one? Well, you can be a queen, too. That's okay. Actually, there's debate about that, about who these kings were. And I think some of them could have been queens. Just saying. Just saying. Do you need help? All right. Arms up. All right. Put the sleeves on. All right.
I got four.
So those of you who decided against
I got this one.
King Queen attire, oh, you had it on right. You put it on right before. You can wear it like a cape, like this. All right, now we're going to go for a little travel. Then you hold it like this. All right, so everyone, let's follow me, okay? We're going to go this way. We're going to go out. We're going to show everyone the pageantry of our garments. Okay, let's follow me, follow me. March like Kingswood. We're looking, we're looking. We're going out to share all about who Jesus is with everyone in the whole world. Don't they look great, everyone? Woo! Yeah. All right. So I think that just as important as it is for us to go out and to tell everyone about who Jesus is, everyone who's here at worship today, everyone who's here at worship today also has that job. And so one of the things that we do at Epiphany, which is the celebration that we're celebrating today, is we bless our homes for this very thing, that we can be strengthened in our faith to go out into the world and tell other people about Jesus. So there's a blessing ceremony that you guys can all take home. And it's a little thing where we mark the door with some chalk. Okay? So I'm going to have Luke come up and help me with this. So Luke, you do. So I'm going to give him some chalk because I think he's tall enough. And I'm going to have him step up on the step stool. And we're going to do this little blessing of the door together. So what I'm going to have you write on the door is this. Can you see this little image right here? It says 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 19. Yeah, you have to write it. So there were three wise men. That's okay. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. They followed the star of God's Son who had become human 2,019 years ago. Very good. May Christ bless our home. This home, that's okay. May Christ bless our home and remain with us throughout this new year. Amen. This CMB is reminiscent of the three kings, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, but it also, in Latin, can stand for, I'm not going to say the Latin because I'm going to mess it up, but it means, may Christ bless this home. So you can all take one of these home when you leave today so that you can bless your homes as well. Thank you for your help, Luke. Let's top right here that you can take on. No, we're going to have to go put our costumes back. But let's pray. Let's pray. Can you all pray with me? All right. Dear God, may all who enter this place rejoice to find Christ living among us. Strengthen us as we go out into the world that we might bring Christ's light and love to a world in need. Amen. All right, you can all run back up and take your crowns off and your sashes. Thank you so much for your help. Wasn't that fun? You guys did a great job. Oh, yeah, just throw it in a pile. I'll hang it up later. That looks great. Oh, yeah. All right. Jack, can you help me wheel this back? Can you help me with this stuff and take it back here for me? We'll go set it back here. We're going to set it right here. Good job. Oh, Luke, you want to help too? That'd be great. Can you put the crowns in the bag for me? Liam, can you throw a crown in the bag for me? Good job. Throw it in. Throw it in. You guys know the cleanup song? Okay. There used to be a cleanup song that all the kids knew about. I think it's out of vogue. All right. Thank you, guys. You can head back to your seats. I kind of want to continue to wear my sash, but I don't know.
That was really fun. Thanks for going on that journey with me. Let us pray. Eternal light in darkness, fill us with the light of Christ. Empower us to let that light shine in the world. Amen. Today we celebrate Epiphany, as you just saw with the kids, the kings that come and visit Jesus and then go out to spread the gospel with the whole world. So it's Epiphany, and I had an epiphany. I had a really great idea. I thought, oh, how great, I'll have everyone in the congregation share the king story. I'll have them tell little bits and pieces of the king story. But we just heard it, and we saw it, we experienced it as the kids did it. And so I thought maybe instead we'd watch a video about it that has a little different spin on the classic wise men story. So let us watch.
I thought you said we lost him.
I found you! Thank goodness for that star. If it weren't for that star, I wouldn't have found you guys.
Pretty convenient that now you can read the stars.
Oh no, just that big super bright one. I mean, it's like, ba-blam! But I'm still gonna need directions home. Can someone write that down for me?
We don't have time for this. We're going to see the Messiah.
Look at us! Four wise men, we're inseparable.
More like insufferable.
Speaking of suffering, my feet can't take much more walking. It's been 3 years. We should have been home by now.
You guys can blame me all day for losing those camels, but you all knew going into this that my double hitch knot needed a little work.
Why don't we proceed in silence, reverent silence, in honor of the Messiah.
Totally cool with that.
Good.
So, I was thinking about my gift. I mean, what baby needs white jade anyway, right?
We've been over this 1,000 times. White jade represents his purity and goodness. The gold represents his royalty. The burning of frankincense reminds us that the aura of God is around us at all times, and the myrrh is to anoint him as King of Kings.
Right. Just listen. I think about a better gift. A gift that will make everyone forget that I lost the white jade.
You what?
I mean, I think a gift that makes the white jade just look like nothing. A gift that's better than the white jade that I replaced.
You replaced with what?
The greatest gift of all. Oh yeah. Wait for it. Ba-blam! Hummus!
You must be kidding.
Do you mean you must be kidding? Because I'm not kidding at all. Hummus is delicious, okay? And it's very symbolic. People unite together when they see hummus. Much like a savior. Okay. This is my bad. This is on me. You guys go see the Messiah. I'll just stay here.
I think that would be best. But at least you have a snack.
Yeah. I just thought it just doesn't matter what we bring this little king. He doesn't need any of our gifts. I mean, you know, he's a savior. I mean, he's a gift to us. Maybe I was hoping he's bigger than all my mistakes. Yeah, I guess that's what I was hoping. All right, I'll see you guys later. Why are you doing that?
Because I hope he's that kind of a savior too. Let's go. I
wish someone had some pita bread. Ba-blam!
Now, a good preacher would sit down and let it all speak for itself, but you all know that I'm an intern, so I'm going to keep going. So over the past few weeks, I've started my internship project, this project about our Emmanuel stories. Marianne's story kicked off our year of storytelling today. And you got to experience her light and her gifts to this congregation. But also, I hope you experienced how you all have shown as lights and gifts in her life as well. Today is Epiphany. Epiphany is our celebration of when these kings or these magi follow the light to the Christ child. This visitation traditionally has stood for the inbreaking of God's light for the whole world. The main image of the day being light. It is so convenient that we celebrate Christ's light revealed to the world here in the Northern Hemisphere when we experience the gradual lightening of the darkness as our days begin to lengthen. And not only is it our habitat that bears this image of Christ's light, but we too are bearers of the image of God. Each of us holds Christ's light within us. We'll talk more on that later. Our readings today help us understand that God is for all people everywhere. This is a message of radical inclusivity. The Magi are drawn from the east to visit the Christ child. They who were once far off are now embraced by God. Embraced by God who sent a Savior into the world. In a similar way, Paul writes to us today that he has begun to give grace, to bring the Gentiles this news of the boundless riches of Christ. Just as Isaiah had foretold, nations shall come to God's light. In this radical reality, inclusive reality, everyone is welcome. And so are their gifts. Just as the Magi showed their respect for Christ with gold, frankincense, myrrh, and hummus, we too can share our gifts, talents, and stories. Whatever we share, no matter how simple, furthers the brightness of God's dawn. I mean, how else would all of the people of the world come to know who God is and what God is up to if we stop sharing our stories? I had similar sentiments as I approached my Our Emmanuel story project. How might our stories, when collected, further the revelation of God? Our stories of faith, our experiences of God and each other at this church. Will our sharing of these stories reveal a more complex image of who God is and what God is doing here? I knew I would need to get this idea approved first by my internship committee. And at first, it was met with a little pushback. At first, they thought, oh, wow, such a great idea. We're so excited for you. And then when I said, great, you'll be the first ones I ask to share, they thought, but I have nothing interesting to share. Nothing interesting to give. My story is not important. And when I think of my own call story, I too, and the stories of my faith, I too think, you know, that's, it's not interesting. It's not interesting to share. Especially because I don't have this radical moment on the road to Damascus like Paul had where this light comes and hits me. I grew up in the church. I was raised, I like to affectionately call it, you know, a cradle Lutheran. From the cradle, I've been a Lutheran. And as a young girl, I didn't think of church so much as a place that I sought God, but more a place where the people I met there deeply cared for me. I knew that the adults who were there were concerned with what I was up to in school, in theater, and in sports. They would support me in church things, but then I would see them out in the world, and they would support me there, too. And as I was going through youth group, I got more and more involved. And many of my classmates referred to me as the church girl. And maybe it's true that I began to become more and more interested in things of faith. And at around age 12, my pastor at the time came up to me after worship. And he said, "Maria, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "Pastor Steve, I'm going to be on Broadway." And he chuckled, much like you just did, and said, "Well, that was a fine idea, that would be great." But that he thought, just maybe that I would be a pastor. And I just about fell over. I thought he was crazy. I had only had male pastors up until this point. I didn't have that female role model to pave the way or even show that it was possible for a female to be a pastor. Plus, I didn't know anything. I could barely recite the Apostles' Creed without looking at the words. And I needed the biblical index at the front of my Bible to tell where the Bible books were. I didn't know anything. I got angry. I had a messy room. A thing I was convinced pastors absolutely never did. But then we called our first female pastor. She took me under her wing and she showed me, she had children and she had a messy car and she'd yell at her kids sometime and she showed me the human sides. I mean, we would blare Broadway show tunes in her car as we drive to pastor text study on Wednesday mornings. So I thought, I could maybe see myself doing this. That I'm human, but I also feel this call to ministry. So after many years of deciphering if this was what was right for me, I approached Pastor Joanna and I said, "So what if this is real? What if I actually feel called to this ministry?" She said, "Well, then I think you probably have to say it out loud." I needed to share my realization, my revelation with others. Not only so that they could experience Christ in me, but so that they could be Christ back to me, affirming my call and supporting it. Even though I've shared this call story time and time again, and really nothing miraculous happens, it's just people sharing with me and me sharing with other people. But when I share it, others seem to be strengthened by its message. The same can be true for you. The truth of the matter is that I cannot be the only one to share a story. The shepherds were the first to share their experience of God after meeting the Christ child. Then the wise men shared their story. And today you heard Marianne share her story, and now mine. And so now it is your turn to think about sharing your story. Because this inclusive reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ requires a diverse symphony of voices. Each story told about an experience of God will broaden our view and our reach until the whole world will know the grace of God.
what you've shared or not shared with those who sit next to you on the pews on Sunday morning. What struggle or celebration have you not let others see to strengthen their faith or encourage you in yours? Because sharing your story has double-sided benefits. It encourages others who are going through similar experiences. It gives them permission to experience God in many different ways, ways that we never thought were even imaginable. And it allows them to encourage you and affirm you and strengthen you on your way. But if we don't share, we'll never know. We don't share, we'll never know. Epiphany, a celebration that reminds us that it's not about what we share or give. Like the fourth wise man, we might not have the most shiny or glamorous story to share, but we have a Savior who has been and who is a gift to us and who is actively writing in our story and working in our lives and the lives of those around us. Mary Ann stated so eloquently this morning that God equips the called. Each of you has a story to tell. Each of you has gifts to share. So far, I've had so much fun preparing these stories for all of you. I've got 6 made now. I'm working on a 7th. And so that means I need somewhere in the 40s to finish out the full 52 stories that we'll need over the course of 2019. I promise, as someone who is invited to share her story frequently, the more you share, the easier it gets and the more fun, because you begin to see how God is working in your life and through the lives of others. And once you begin to share here at Emmanuel in this community that already loves you and supports you, you may be tempted to share your story with someone not in this place. And who knows how God could work in that person's life because you were brave enough to share. It's possible. That's a side effect of sharing your story. If the Magi teach us anything today, it is that we do have a Savior like that. One that looks past our mistakes. One who doesn't need our gifts, but is a gift to us. We have a Savior who shines through our individual stories and ushers in light. Light for the whole world. And we are the bearers of that light to each other and to the whole world. If we do not share that light, if we keep it hidden, if we keep it to ourselves, how will the whole world know what God is up to and what God is doing in our lives? Amen.